faith of the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great God, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And that name that we find there is Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. 24 times in the book of Malachi is this name mentioned. And 8 times in the first chapter is this name mentioned. And this name is mentioned just a little over 240 times in the Old Testament. So 10% of the time it's found in the book of Malachi. And for 4 chapters, we would think God is telling us something. God is telling us something about himself. And he's telling through the prophet Malachi, he's telling a great deal about God. This is who these folks are dealing with. This is no small puny God, but this is the Lord of hosts. Now, it depends on the translation, but sometimes he is called the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord Almighty. Those are the way this name is generally translated. Lord of hosts is a title that emphasizes God's rule over every other power in the material and spiritual universe. He has the power over all things. So that's why he would be called the Lord Almighty or God Almighty. This title occurs more than 240 times in the Old Testament and 24 times here in the book of Malachi. All creation, even in its fallen condition, is under God's rule and reign. I was talking to Brother Trebrand, and he said, you know, even in the fallen condition, we can find places of great beauty in this earth. How many times have we heard Craig mention the gorge? It's beautiful, and yet it's in its fallen condition. And Crater Lake, these occurrences, these things that we look at, are the results of a great catastrophic event. And yet we look at them in beauty. And before the fall of Adam in the garden, what beauty was there? I mean, it's inexplainable. But this passage of scripture that we have here, in chapter 1 and verse 4, this name is mentioned, Lord of hosts. Chapter 1, verse 6, this name is mentioned. Chapter 1 and verse 8, this name is mentioned. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14. 8 times in this chapter, short chapter, only 14 verses long, we have this name mentioned. This word, Lord, comes from the word Jehovah in the Old Testament. If you're a modern thinker, it's called Yahweh. As I grew up, it was called Jehovah. I'm going to stick with that. Jehovah. And the word of hosts is all created agencies and forces are under the leadership or dominion of Jehovah, who made and maintained them. So that's who God is revealing himself to through the prophet Malachi to these folks. And in this last verse, here are those folks that says, we promise to bring the best. And when they get out in the herd and they see their prize stock, they say, I'm going to give that broken one. And God said in that last verse, he says, I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen, or respected among the Gentiles. My name is respected among the Gentiles, but I'm having problems here having any respect out of the Jews. So he's revealing to that. And to the Jews, just remember, in the Hebrew language, when these people were reading it, God is sharing with them that the God of armies is speaking to them. The God of heaven and earth is speaking to them. This is not one of their idols. This God is the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah of armies, the Lord Almighty. Would you turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2, we have this word hosts mentioned here, and it covers so much. Genesis chapter 2, he's the Lord of hosts. And this is the same word over here in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. As our brother Moses was writing by inspiration, we have it written down here. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Without description, beyond description, no way of describing the completeness of it or the totality of creation. They are all under the rule and reign of Almighty God, Jehovah. And so that's the one that's speaking to these Jews, these Hebrews, in Malachi. Malachi is speaking to them by the authority of God, just like any gospel preacher or anybody sharing the gospel with their neighbor or their children. They are speaking by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciated what that pastor shared with me when he was talking to his daughter. He says, number one, you don't consider yourself a sinner, and number two, you don't believe the report. And that's the problem with these folks. They didn't believe they were sinners, and they didn't believe the report. Or they would have bowed before this Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. They would have bowed. They would have no problem. A believer will bow before this king. Unbelievers taunt him. We'll not have you rule over us. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, we read here this word hosts again, and it shares with us again an understanding of who this is. This is the hosts that the Lord reigns over. Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah the King. In Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 12, chapter 45 and verse 12, and I made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Jupiter is under the absolute control of this God. The farthest star that has ever been recorded is under control of this star. And guess what? Those Hebrews that Malachi was writing to are under the absolute control of this God, and they will answer to him. Now, a believer will bow with joy, recognizing him as the ruler of all things. This Lord of hosts, there's probably no greater description of the Lord of hosts than what we read in a passage in the book of Daniel chapter 4. Would you turn there with me, Daniel chapter 4? We're reading the words of a pagan king in Daniel chapter 4. And I was reminded as I was working on this that all scripture, these words of a pagan king, the words of Baal or Balaam, the words of Korah, the words of Moses' sister and Aaron, all of those folks, their words are under the power of Almighty God. And here in the book of Daniel chapter 4, we read these words by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we brought this up a number of times, but this passage of Scripture truly illustrates what the meaning of Lord of hosts is, what the very meaning of it. And Nebuchadnezzar is sharing this with us, and he is being led of the Holy Spirit. God is using him to declare the greatness of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. This is after he has come out of the 7 years of barrenness. 7 years turned out like a critter. And the Lord gives his mind back to him. It was the Lord that put him in the field. It was the Lord that gave his mind back to him. It was the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar realized, at least in the flesh, the reason he was king of Babylon was the Lord God Almighty. And here in verse 34, the first words, I like the last words of David over there. Here's the words of Nebuchadnezzar after he comes out from under this binding by the Lord. 7 years. Now, I don't know who was reigning during that time, but Nebuchadnezzar wasn't. And it tells us here, verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He rules always and for all time. He never ceases to rule. Nebuchadnezzar sums up for us, in many respects, the title that we find in the scripture 240 times, and 24 times in the book of Malachi, and 8 times in the chapter 1 of the book of Malachi, the name of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. Here he goes on to say, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, God, this high God, this supreme God, this one that is almighty, doth according to his will in the armies of heaven, or the army of heaven. And sometimes we find a translation will translate Lord of hosts as Lord of armies. He has all the angels in his control. He told his disciples, I could have called 10 legions of angels. He has that control. And he called all the demons that were necessary during his ministry. They were under his absolute control. They are God's demons. Satan is God's Satan. And the angels are God's angels. And the earth is the Lord's. And the heavens are his. And the people on them belong to him. And he has dominion over them. And he has them in his hand. And so Nebuchadnezzar, after coming out from under this, what some people would call a spell, insanity, whatever you want to call it, coming out from under that, he didn't spit and sputter and wonder what was going on. He recognized the fact that what had happened to him was happening to him because of Almighty God. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And where does he include himself in that? All the inhabitants of the earth. That quick, I was turned into a beast of the field. One moment I'm the king, glorying in my kingdom and what I have done, and the next moment I'm eating grass like the oxen. All the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will. That was his will that Nebuchadnezzar was turned out to pasture. And it was his will that Nebuchadnezzar come to himself and confess this great confession that fills in any blank spots about Lord of hosts that we might have. That's who Malachi is saying is talking to Israel, is the Lord of hosts. He doeth his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? He does absolutely as he pleases. For his sovereignty is eternal, and he rules always and for all time. What a confession that Nebuchadnezzar made. In Psalm 90, back up just a little bit into Psalm 90, if you would. In Psalm 90 and verse 2, we have this said about the Lord as the Lord of hosts. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What a statement made about God. And that's the God that is speaking to Israel, to the Hebrews under Malachi. Well, we could go to all the rest of the books of the Old Testament, and that's the God who's speaking to Israel in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the God that is speaking about the kings in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. This is that God. And that's the God that caused the king to permit the children of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is the king, the Lord of glory. In the book of 1 Chronicles, would you go back there for just a moment? 1 Chronicles chapter 17. First Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 7. Excuse me, 17 verse 24. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. Now, this is a true statement about the church. The Lord of hosts is the God of the church. That's why we continuously repeat, we continuously insist that Christ is the issue. It's not articles of faith. It's not books. It's not publications. It's the Word of God. It's Christ. And it's, He is the issue. And in chapter 17 and verse 7, let's back up there for just a moment. It says, now therefore, thus saith thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. Now, David was a sheepherder. And you know what? If God had left him alone, he'd have been happy being a sheepherder. He would have never had any inspiration or aspiration to be a king. I took you from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. Whatever God desires, he does. And he did that with David. And we know that he was not the most, I hate to use the word masculine man, among the sons of Jesse, because the man who went with the orders to anoint a king was fooled by all his brothers. He picked out the most masculine, the largest, the most powerful, and said, truly, this is him. God said, no, I'm Lord of hosts. I rule the farthest star. I will take care of this. And we just simply see the foolishness that we have sometimes in insisting on ours instead of God's way. And God said, no. And he went through and marked them off and marked them off. And finally, is there another son? Well, he's taking care of the sheep. You don't want him. And God said, that's him. Bring him in here. And he anointed him king. Now, did you know he was anointed king before he ever set foot on the throne? He was king during most of Saul's reign because he was chosen of God to be king. The Lord of hosts chose him. In Psalm 24, Psalm 24 and verse 10, this Lord of hosts, this Lord of armies, this Lord Almighty, in the Psalm, Psalm 24 and verse 10, we have so often through the scriptures, 240 times this name is brought up, Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, Lord Almighty, God Almighty. Psalm 24 and verse 10, who is the King of glory? Good question. Answer, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. And I am reminded as I read through the book of Malachi, the number of times that God was required and did tell those folks who he was. Now, it's a bad sign about the hearts of those people when the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, Lord Jehovah Almighty, has to remind the people who say they belong to him who he is because they can't figure it out. It really tells us of the desperateness of their own hearts. They don't have any relationship with God. They don't know this Lord of hosts, or they would not be going out into their field and promising to bring in the best, the male of the first year, and when they get out there, say, well, this will do, because it's only for a minor god. You know, the Romans and the Greeks had it right. They had stations of gods. They had this god, and he wasn't quite as powerful as this god, and he wasn't quite as powerful as this god, and that's just the way religion has it. there's gods that are just not very powerful. Well, God wanted Israel to know, and God has allowed the church to know that he is the Lord of hosts. He is the sovereign king. And when we don't recognize that, it really shows what our heart is like before this king. We'll not have you rule over us. We're going to have somebody else that will accept our sacrifices. And what is the sacrifices of religion today? My righteousness, my works, my Bible readings, my visitations, my all the stuff, and I'm going to trade that. And we're really saying, I don't believe in the Lord of hosts. Because if we did, we would have no problem with understanding this is what he requires. Even in symbolism, he's requiring perfection, the best possible. Now, I made mention of, down in a message there Ashland, about the message was without spot and without blemish. And I went over there to the book of Exodus chapter 12, and I said they held that animal aside for that long to inspect it, and said they couldn't tell. They hoped it was okay at the end. You couldn't tell what was inside. And there was a man who had been a butcher all his life, and he came up to me and he said, if you hold an animal aside for 3 days and there's something wrong inside, it'll be on the outside. And I says, whoa, I learned something. So, picking out the best to give to God and offering it, that was what was required. And they were not following that. In the Psalm 46, if you turn there with me. Psalm 46 and verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's with the church. Psalm 46 and verse 7, Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts is with the church. That's who our protector is. That's who's protecting us from falling. That's who's protecting us and giving us the draw to himself. That's who he is. It's not just some mediocre God and it's left up to us to get things done. He's the Lord of hosts. And when Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And those angels were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And that's when he said, woe is me. So it's a big difference between this. Those folks, they had no interest in ever saying this on their own. Woe is me. I've been in the presence of the Lord of hosts, and I'm alive. But when God reveals himself to his people, then there is a reverence that cannot be created. A reverence for God that cannot be brought out of a box. It is something God puts in our heart. When the Holy Spirit indwells us, there is a reverence for God that is beyond imagination. And that's why so many people don't believe in the sovereignty of God. They don't have any interest in that God. And people who have an interest in that God, they have a reverence for him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, there's a number of things brought out in Hebrews chapter 4, but this verse just jumped off the page at me as I was looking at this lesson. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. This is the God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, one of the commentators mentioned with regard to this verse brought us back to the time when they were offering animal sacrifices, and that high priest was required to offer certain parts on the altar, and they would raise that animal up and open that animal up. And he says, this animal was naked before the one who has to do. And he said, this is the way God is viewing us. We are open. What's it say? But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is the Lord of hosts. He truly sees us as we are. And in salvation, knowing full well what we are, he imputes to us his righteousness, takes our sin as far as the east is from the west, and we no longer have any fear of that nakedness. Adam was afraid of his nakedness and hid himself, covered himself and hid himself. But God said, when he takes care of all that, those things, he doesn't have to go looking for problems in us because it's all been taken care of. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that, again, is a statement we find in the New Testament that is similar to the Lord of hosts in the Old Testament, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That word Lord has with it more than just a shallow meaning of someone that's trying to take care of something. This has a seriousness with the church. People who believe the grace of God have a seriousness about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he truly rules and reigns all things. And we're in his hand, and he rules over us, and he takes care of us, and yet he moves us in the direction that we need to go, as the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever will. If he does that for the king, what's he doing it for us? He turns us whithersoever we will. And we are thankful for that very thing, that he would turn us. So the Lord of hosts, 24 times in the book of Malachi alone, is he reminding those folks. Now, I cannot pronounce host in the original language. I'll put it in the bulletin this Sunday. They have strange spellings, and it's not comfortable for us to say it. But those Hebrews understood that. They understood the definition of that. They didn't understand the spirit of it, or they'd have been doing differently. Because God's people worship God, and they're not out trying to scam God. They're not trying to scam anybody. It's such a shame how people scam God in every way. We've got this water from the River Jordan. And brother, if you sprinkle it on your head, it's a scam. And it's worse when it comes to the gospel. It's a scam. It is a pure scam to get anybody to think about anybody but the Lord of hosts. But that truly is a revealed notion, a revealed statement. Just like Nebuchadnezzar. Before that, he could have cared less, and he was really proud of himself. Jesus said the righteous, self-righteous, the rich ones, self-righteous, they're like people who don't have any diseases. They don't need a physician. They that are sick need a physician. And everybody that's in the church knows that. They know that. They're sick. And they have a physician. Everybody in the cities of refuge knew exactly why they were there. We didn't have to compare notes. We know we're there because we're sinners. God's revealed that. So the Lord of hosts, these folks that were in that group there that Malachi's writing to, 24 times, Malachi went like this. He's not a puny God, folks. And he will get his way. He's not small. He's not a broken critter. He has all power and all authority. Now, we found a verse recently that even in that, he is patient, but the time will come, he will render judgment. And he did there. He did here in the book of Malachi. Well, we'll pick up this next time in chapter 2, but we'll never leave the Lord our hosts in the book of Malachi. Every chapter will have a reminder that this is the one with whom we have to do. We are naked before him with whom we have to do. He knows our frame. He knows us. And he is gracious to give us Christ to cover up the mess.